I'm David Trigg, and this is the Spiritual But High-Achieving Young Adult Podcast. Attention, high achievers, professionals, creators, and life-changing young adults. Your life of peace and high impact begins right here, right now. We are the high-achieving, life-centered tribe of young professionals you've been looking for. You're already making a difference in the world, and we're here to help center and ground those high goals by creating a real connection that cuts through the noise. Take everything that you've built inside your zone of genius and find depth and meaning. With love, strategy, and a laser eye for inner peace and high achievement, we're not going to just focus on success at the expense of your soul. We don't focus on spirituality without success and drive. We launch high-achieving careers together with inner peace, a healthy soul, and true life. And now we are doing the unheard of. We're unveiling everything we've learned, taking you behind the scenes with the Spiritual High-Achieving Team, and giving away the secrets to our client success. So stay tuned for high-achieving strategies, spiritual health, and insider knowledge that you won't find anywhere else. You are changing the world, and we are here to help you. In today's episode, I want to talk to you about the influence that our parents have upon our spirituality as well as our success. And I want to start by talking a little bit about my three influential people, the three most influential people in my life: my mom, my father, and my grandmother. And then in the next episode, I'm going to talk about the power of, in my case, my wife, or that significant other in your life, or if you are a single person, just the power of finding the right person so that you can live in your power. So my mom, like for many of us, has been, along with my grandmother, the two most influential women in my life, certainly in my childhood, of course. My mom, because of her balance and compassion, because of her love for me, of course, and also her long suffering. I think that for us, high achievers and creatives, spiritual people, in our moms, we find our center, our soul. I think that most people that I meet, when they're in trouble, first person they call is their mom. That's what I do. Whenever I feel anxious or lost, I call my mom, even though she's 10,000 miles away. And thank God for Facebook Messenger and all of these different tools that make it easier to talk to our parents. But it's never easy to be honest with your family, with your mom. And yet when you do that, you feel so connected. And I find that our moms, they really shape how we think, how we eat, how we interact with other people, how to feel. I only know my perspective as a son, not a daughter, but my wife and I do have two daughters, and I see how they interact with her. And so I can imagine that if you are a female, your mom is your mentor, your wisdom person, someone with unconditional love, someone who is your teacher for life. And I think that, especially in the Latino and perhaps people of color in our cultures, our mothers are everything. But really, I think this just goes across the board. Our moms mean everything to us, even if they have, let's say, humble beginnings. We learn strategy from our moms. We learn courage. My mom taught me the value of joy and laughter. She is probably the most joyous person that I know. And she also has taught me to have joy, or gozo, as you know we call it here, in light of suffering, losing my father, losing her husband, losing her dad, losing her mother, losing her son, me, at an early age, meaning when I was 12, 13. And so it would be easy for my mom to live a bitter life, but instead she lives a life of joy, a life of thankfulness, and I draw my strength from her whenever I feel anxious or angry or confused. My father is maybe the closest expression to God, I can put it that way, that I have here on earth. Now, he's been gone from my life for about 20 years. I miss my father. He's in heaven. But in every aspect of who I am, music, my physical features, probably my mannerisms, the older that I get, they come from my father. My music, my sense of singing, speaking. If you had known my dad, he was someone who had a podcast, you could say. He was on the radio. He would sing on the radio, certainly at church, of course. He recorded records. He performed with his band and his quartet. He loved God. He also helped the poor for 30 years. He was a co-director, co-founder of a nonprofit back home that helped the poor and the campesinos, the farmers, and did cooperatives, training. I remember how he would train these men to organize and to create co-ops. And so my father taught me the value of systems, organization, certainly of faith, love for his wife, my mom, for his children, also long-suffering. My father taught me the value of love and care. He was a very tender man, a beautiful voice, a creative, a musician, just like me. That's where I get my music from. And so in those two people, you could say that I gained my real sense of stability. When we were going through a horrible war when I was 11 years of age, there were bullets flying over our head and tanks and airplanes dropping bombs just blocks away from where I lived and all kinds of horrible things. But my mom, and especially my father, would create such a peaceful atmosphere at night. We would sleep on the floor because of the dangers of bullets and such. And we only had candles. There was no electricity. And my dad would sing songs to us, pray, be near to me. I remember him physically being near to me. And just I just felt safe, even though we could have died very easily. And so I get my calmness from him. I probably get my anger and my edge from my mom and my grandmother. So moving to my grandmother was the most influential person in my life from 12 years on. And from her, I learned strength, courage, edge, also joy, suffering, compassion, hospitality. She, like many abuelitas in our culture, she gave it all away. She cleaned homes her whole life to put me through school. She never gave up on her sons. She had five sons, I believe, three daughters and two sons. And to the last day of her life, she was there for them. She died about 12, 11 years ago. And she taught me the value of, even though she was a very humble woman in terms of financial goals or perhaps educational goals and such, she taught me a work ethic that I am so thankful for. Every time that I work hard, that I get up early and go to bed late working, I think of her because she exemplified cleaning homes, coming home to take care of me, and then dropping me off at school the next morning at 6, 7 a.m. So, obviously, our parents, maybe our grandparents, perhaps you also had a grandmother or a cousin or maybe a sibling who took care of you. They shape a lot of our financial, a lot of our success goals, a lot of our spiritual goals. All three of my parents, my mom, dad, and grandma, they all loved Jesus. They had a deep, genuine sense of faith, which I'm thankful for. They were people of prayer, of worship, of Bible study, and of church attendance, and of of mission, as we would call it, meaning helping the poor. My mom was a principal of a school for, I would say, I think maybe 10, 15 years of about 400 kids. And I had the privilege of donating, along with my church, $40,000 and then building 4 brand new classrooms for the students in her neighborhood. And so she taught me, really all 3 of my parents taught me how to be about the regular person. You don't have to be a faith or a church follower to deserve love and respect. And I think that's where I get my focus on irreligious, you could call it irreligious people. I guess maybe better put, it doesn't matter to me if you are a churchgoer or not. I believe in you. I believe in the value that you have as a human being. I believe in helping people. I believe that we all are here for the same reason, and that's to love one another, to love God, to do well. I also, of course, get a deep sense of faith and of trusting in God, which I must say is not something that I'm really mature in or good at. I hope to be anywhere near, especially my mom and my grandmother, in terms of trusting God. My father, I'm sure, also. I just didn't spend as much time with him as I wish I had, but that's something, at least as far as trusting in God, that they definitely did, and my mom still is alive, thank you, Lord. They do better than me by a long shot. And so I think that you can probably relate to at least some aspects of my story. Our parents shape a lot of our faith journey. And even if there are negative things that may have happened in our childhood with our parents, separation or maybe not a very good relationship perhaps, even in those problems, there's still such a blessing. There's still such lessons that we learn from our parents. So I want to just encourage you to meditate on what you're thankful for. If you have your parents still around, maybe this week, this weekend, call them and say, Mom, Dad, I'm thankful for this. And as far as the pain, forgive it. It's the best advice that I can give you at my stage of life is forgive. I don't really have anything to forgive as far as my parents, but I do have other people that I struggle to forgive for many years and it only hurt me. So forgive your parents. I would say, as the Bible says, honor your parents, help them financially. We help our parents financially every month. We've done that for 20 plus years. I think all of us as kids, no matter our age, we want to provide for our parents. It's a spiritual principle to honor. In the Bible, the word honor isn't just respect. It's actually financial provision. And it says that if we do so, our lives will be blessed. And it's exactly true. That's what we've experienced. So I encourage you to help your parents financially, even if it's, I don't know, $100 a month or hopefully more, whatever you can do, more than rent and more than that kind of thing, just bless them with financial wealth and obviously love, time, helping them, visiting them if they're aging and or if they have a particular illness, being there for them, taking time away from work and all your other responsibilities to be there for them, regardless of how things may be between you and your father, you and your parents. So there's a blessing that comes from that, and I'm convinced that when we honor our parents, it comes back to us tenfold. And I encourage you to meditate on the impact that your parents have had and think of the positive. It's useless, I would say, to think on the negative stuff. We all have them, but as I said, it only hurts us to think about those things. So I encourage you to perhaps make some connections between your parents' upbringing or your parents' example and your success goals, your spiritual goals. How did your parents influence positively or negatively your financial goals, your spiritual goals? I would say that, this is not a negative, but I would say that something that I didn't get from my parents is financial abundance or a mindset of financial abundance. I don't think they were negative, or I didn't hear a lot of the typical money is evil thing, but I don't think they had perhaps a robust understanding of wealth. They weren't wealthy people, but in my, especially in my dad's side of the family, there were a lot of businessmen, construction, jewelry, things like that. And I was always drawn to those uncles. Always wondered what they were up to and how did they make money. And so I wish perhaps that my father would have maybe told me more about what my uncles did and how they created wealth and how did they hire employees and all that kind of stuff. Because I think that now that's very important. So now me as a father and as a husband, of course, to my wife and a father to our two daughters and son, I have tried to be maybe too much of a you can be a millionaire kind of dad, kind of father. And I don't think that's always necessary, but maybe trying to overcompensate for my own upbringing. I don't think I've been overly over the top, but I've encouraged our children to succeed financially and to understand the mechanics of money and entrepreneurship and of course of education and all that kind of stuff. And we've seen all three of our children work, create wealth or create their own incomes, even though they're still young, 16, 18, and 20. But that hasn't been the only thing for me. I have also taught them through my, hopefully our example, both my wife and I, Rochelle and I, the value of genuine spirituality, not just church attendance or going because I'm a pastor and all that, but a genuine relationship with the Almighty God, and that there is a being out there that loves you, that is truly there in your times of need, when you fail, when you feel alone. The universe, God, you know, divinity, Jesus, in our case, is here with them. And I've had the privilege to baptize two of our three children, and I can't wait to baptize our third. And baptism, as you know, it's a step of obedience, just a wonderful expression of faith, especially as teenagers now. And so I wonder what your life or how your life has been shaped, both financially and spiritually, by your parents. Mostly think about how is it positively influenced. Now, if there is something that you wish you had gained from them financially or maybe spiritually even that you feel like you lack now, then thank God for the fact that you still have time to learn these things from other people and perhaps even to bless your parents in a spiritual way. Maybe bless your parents in a financial way because of the wisdom that you are gaining from other people. And so all this is really connected. God, faith, family, wealth, spirit, inner peace. All these things are interconnected. And maybe one last thing. When it comes to inner peace, I would say that my father was probably the best example for me of that, mostly through his music. I often would see my dad praying and reading his Bible, but I got a sense that music was his peace. That also traveling, and not traveling as into other countries, although he did some of that, but going to the remote areas of the country to train people, his work, training the poor, I almost can feel that gave him a huge sense of joy and of inner peace. And so when I think of inner peace, even though I never heard the words yoga or meditation or personal power or any of that kind of stuff or an inner life, I saw, especially my father, model for me a walk with Jesus, a spiritual life, not just a doing life, but a being life. And so maybe that's the thing that you can do, is who of your family members taught you the value of inner peace, of spirituality, but of rest, of contemplation. Are you lacking in that area? Perhaps it's something that you need to consider, you know, finding a mentor that can walk with you for years, not just for a day or two, but for months and years in this area of inner peace, Because I'm convinced that here in 2019 and as we head into 2020, inner peace is going to be our currency, our Bitcoin, I guess if you want to call it, meaning the thing that we need so that we can give it to others, so that we can have it for ourselves, so that we can share it with people. I mean, don't you feel like inner peace is going to be like the ATMs of the future, or the Bitcoin, or the stock exchange of the next century or the next decade even? I'm convinced that inner peace is going to be so valuable because we lack it. We just lack it. And so maybe think about this fall, this month of August, September, to think of how can you incorporate inner peace into your routine. And don't be so quick to say that church is inner peace, or that being involved in some church activity is inner peace. Ask yourself, is it truly giving you peace? What is giving you peace? What is giving you that sense of rest? And then, in terms of success and high achievement, who are the people that are helping you, encouraging you to succeed at life? Mentors, professors, podcasts, books, Gary Vee or Joel Osteen, or who are the men and women who are, Tony Robbins and Oprah, who are the men and women who are pushing you forward to succeed? Well, we'll talk about that in another episode, Tools of Success. But for now, thank God for your parents. Thank the universe. Thank divinity. Thank life for how your parents shaped your sense of peace and spirituality and of high achievement. And thank them also, if you still have them. Maybe write them a letter. And don't just text them, but you know, maybe have coffee or go out to lunch with them or go to church with them, whatever, and just thank them for how they taught you the ways of spirit, the ways of success in their own way, with their own limitations. And yet, aren't we all thankful for our parents? So I hope that thinking about our parents and our childhood influences can give you a sense of courage that this journey that we're on as young adults, for me as a mentor to young adults, is not brand new. We are standing on the shoulders of our parents' success, even their failures, even their needs, even their difficulties. We stand on their shoulders of greatness in light of suffering. And I think it's important that you realize that you're not alone, that you have them to back you up, to support you and help you. So think about that over the next few days, and make sure that you share this episode with your friends as we continue this journey called the High Achiever But Spiritual Young Adult Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.